Warning, warning, warning. Streaming out over the Rocky Mountains via the World Wide Web, we bring you Warning.
Warning, warning, warning.
The Abbott and Costello of the Paranormal World, says author Jeff Danilek, author of Case for Ghosts. Hideously irresponsible and borderline criminal, says the infamous fraud Dr. Gargoyle. We now ask you to sit back and enjoy the silky sounds of Brian and Baxter. You have been warned. It is so good to be back.
So are you responsible or a criminal or both, or we both get one of each?
I think it just spreads out nicely over both of us, like peanut butter. And here we are. This is Baxter of Brian and Baxter.
I guess this would be Brian then.
Yes, next to me is the lovely Brian. And we are here ready to give you another rockin' good time on a Monday night, because nobody's doing anything on a Monday night worth a damn anyway. So
not like it's a holiday or anything.
Right, right. No barbecues or anything going on, so we figure you could waste your time with us, and we appreciate the fact that some of you are. So how's the week been for you, Brian?
Busy, swamped, crazy, website updates, all sorts of fun stuff, and our big, major, huge announcement that we have for tonight.
Big, major news announcement?
Yeah. I'm just stalling here.
Oh, because I've been sleeping all week. I didn't do a damn thing.
Yeah, you did. You went and talked to them, too.
Did I?
Yeah.
Who did I talk to? Was I awake for it?
Let's talk about demons.
Well, I did go see Fido.
Great movie.
The zombie movie. That was fantastic. And.
Oh, that was even better, yeah.
Yeah, went and saw Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al, that was cool.
You know, with a slight bit of embarrassment, I actually will admit that that was probably one of the best shows I've seen in a long time.
That's what I keep telling everybody, too, and it's kind of sad, but I admit it.
It was amazingly good. It really was. No. What demons did I talk to?
Okay. Well, we should have like some sort of a fanfare or something with this. He doesn't have anything cued for this.
Well, you know, because I didn't know what you were going to do.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I do now. It took me a while. Okay, how about this?
That works. Anyway... big announcement. We actually are in negotiations at the very end of them. We are going to have a new movie being produced.
That totally gave me goosebumps. Yes, one of our investigations from several years ago, kind of a pretty spooky one, is being optioned for a movie right now. And we just finished with the contract negotiations over the weekend. And they're going to start production hopefully fairly soon, and we'll keep you up to date on that. But it was a very interesting story. And, to get a good idea of it, on warningradio.info, you can click on the Modern Paranormal Investigator link, and there's actually the article on it. You can read it and see what it's about and everything. But it's quite an interesting little story, and tentatively... I don't know if I should get the title out yet.
Yeah, he said it was cool if we gave the title out. So though it sounds somewhere across between like a bad Tom Hanks movie and a Tenacious D movie.
Right.
I like that mix.
But that is a good mix. The tentative working title at the moment is The Demon Code. So those of you familiar with Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny will probably understand that The Demon Code would prevent... these Rocky Mountain paranormal investigators from refusing a rock-off challenge.
That's true.
So, but you'd have to see the movie to know what I'm talking about, I suppose. So that was a pretty exciting thing. Still doing a lot of writing on the article for the Dr. Gargoyle saga, and that's an exciting one. Getting the magazine ready for its release, and before we start our Halloween blitz, which won't be too long.
It's going to be a big, ugly, thick magazine this time too, just packed full of stuff.
It is big, ugly, and thick, a lot like me. So that'll be a great magazine, I think. What other exciting things are going on? Trying to cover everything, and I have been trying to prepare myself for tonight's guest. He was very gracious enough to come and sit in with us at last moment, and we're very happy about that, since our previous scheduled guest had to postpone a week, so we will be having him next week. But and that is Mr. Roundtree. Is it Dr. Roundtree? Since you don't have the screen up, I can't remember now. David Roundtree.
I don't think so.
It's just Mr.
Just think it's Mr.
Mr. Okay. Mr. David Roundtree.
The cool guy, David Roundtree.
Yeah, the cool guy. He will be with us next week.
Oh, the cool and sensible guy.
Cool and sensible guy. Well, we'll put that to the test. Just like tonight with Rich Orman. He is basically a self-professed skeptic. And I'm looking very forward to testing him on a few things and see how that goes. You know, I'll quiz him on a few things, and we'll find out just how skeptic he truly is. The cover of Westward, which is a rag out here in the Rocky Mountain area.
Hold on, we have to plug available at westward.com.
Available at westward.com.
That's just because I like Patty over there.
Oh, she's okay. Cool. Which also, they will be also mentioning something about our movie deal soon. We don't know when, but soon. But the cover of Westward this week was about the big controversy or the big conspiracy theories of the aliens out at DIA.
The aliens, the New World Order.
New World Order.
All the fun psychopathic things that are going on out there.
Damn Masons, all that kind of stuff.
It's the Masons' fault.
It's all the Masons' fault. It always has been the Masons' fault. Take a look at history and you can see that they pretty much messed up everything. We might talk a little bit about that tonight. It's kind of an interesting story, definitely. So, anything else you want to touch on before we give Rich a call?
Not really. I guess we should probably get him on and get him going.
All right.
And
sounds good. I'm going to go get that Westward article while you're doing that.
I am pushing buttons as we speak. Hence the weird, freaky little beeps. And that would be the weird, freaky little beeps. This would be the dead air before the phone call.
Hello?
Hello, it's Brian, and we are live.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Oh, doing good, and we have a Baxter here, too.
Hello.
Baxter, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing so good.
I'm glad to hear it.
Well, it would be great if you could start off a little bit by giving us just a little bit about who you are, what you're doing, what your gig is, and let everybody know.
Well, my name is Rich, and right now I'm sitting in a car.
Excellent.
And a little joke. There's no laugh track here, so I guess I don't get the feedback. But anyway, my name is Rich. I am the host of the podcast Dogma Free America, where we essentially try to take a look at world events from the perspective of why people have the dogmas that they do and the damage that can be done by a belief in an extreme dogma.
Okay.
I like how you say dogma and not just religion. That's a good
thing. No, it's dogma of any kind. And the podcast, you can find it on iTunes. Just type in Dogma Free America. Or on our website, which is dogmafreeamerica.com.
Excellent.
But dogma is the key. Religion is not the key. It's a belief in something that cannot be questioned. And that's what a dogma is.
Right. So it's demanding blind faith.
It is demanding blind faith. It is something that cannot be questioned. It is a way of looking at the world that it cannot even be examined. It is just considered to be the truth as is given to you by a holy book or given to you by a god, or given to you just by whatever it is. It, dogma can be any kind of thing. There are medical dogmas out there. There are, I guess, you know, you could consider certain scientific principles to be scientific dogmas, although those are all capable of proof. You can have paranormal dogmas. I think very often beliefs in sort of alternative healthcare modalities are often dogmatic. They're just beliefs that people have that really to them cannot be questioned.
I see. So with the perspective... Oh, did we just lose him?
I think he just bubbled.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, that was weird.
Well, yeah, we got all interesting noise.
Oh, you know, that must have been paranormal.
And I was just going to ask you about the paranormal dogmas you were talking about. Now, how do you feel in general? I mean, I know we met you out at Skepticamp 2007. And
where you guys rocked. You guys were fantastic.
Well, thank you.
I love to hear that. Thanks.
And you did a great job of trying to keep us under control, too. I appreciate that. Wanted to ask you about, your level. Well, first, before I go into your level of skepticism with paranormal phenomenon, I'd like to ask you a little bit about where your definition of skepticism lies. And I want to start off by going to the extremes. You've got one side of it where it's like the believer. I don't even know if the believer is a good word for it, but the person where if you say, that burrito didn't sit well, they're immediately going, no, it's obviously a demon. And then you've got the other side of it where the bed is bouncing around shaking and there's no obvious reason, and the skeptic goes, that's stupid. You know, the bed's not moving. You've got the two extremes. Where do you think you lie with the paranormal activity?
Well, I think a bed is a good example. My first inclination, if the bed was shaking, would be, is there an earthquake going on? Not that the bed isn't moving. The way I look at it, and the reason I guess I would consider myself a skeptic, is I believe in looking at the world from a naturalistic perspective, where if you have to prove it to me for me to believe that it exists. And so I require proof, and when things are extraordinary claims, I require, for me to believe it, extraordinary proof. So the way I look at the world, I guess, is from a scientific viewpoint. And the way I see the world is it would be extremely unlikely to me, the way it appears the universe is set up, for anything that people would consider paranormal to exist, because all the things that people generally consider to me to be paranormal seem to me to violate the laws of physics. That being said, I don't dismiss them out of hand. I think that you need to be able to look at any claim critically, and if there's evidence for it, you need to examine that and figure out what's going on.
So you still allow for the possibility of
the... I allow for the possibility of anything, but I'd want to see proof. I don't just accept it. I accept very little. I want something to be provable, and if someone says, we've proved it, I want to say, prove it again, I want it to be reproducible.
Okay.
So whatever it is, I'll accept it if you can establish to me that it's proven.
Okay, now this is your logic mind talking. I'm a little bit curious about the little boy in you. Do you hope for paranormal activity to be real?
You know, I think I started off as the real little boy and then sort of the little boy in me. I started off, as many people who would consider themselves skeptics as adults, being very interested in all of this stuff. If you showed me a book about UFOs or Bigfoots or anything like that, I lapped it up. I loved it. As I grew older, I think I started looking at these things more critically. Do I want it to exist? That's a really interesting question. It depends what it is. Would I like there to be ghosts? Yeah, I guess I would, because to me that would mean there'd be life after death. You know, I'd rather have there be a life after death than just die. I think the world, the way the world works is I just die. Right. I think the way the human species has evolved, I just die. Would I like something else to be there? Sure.
All right. See, now what I did there was just a little bit of psychology on our listeners. Because all the people that are thinking, oh, he's one of those damn bastard skeptics that wants to poo-poo everything we have to say, I just endeared you to them is what I did. So that was a little trickery on my part.
This is true.
So, I agree with you completely. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I loved the feeling when I was a little kid of everything was so not only possible but
guys?
Probable, you know, and it made the world so
Yellow.
Exciting.
Uh-oh.
All right, did we lose you?
He's helloing at us.
Hello. Hello. No, I'm not saying this to the people listening. Hello.
Well, hello to everyone out there, too.
I think he's gone. I hear silence.
Well, it says he's still there, but I think I'm going to hang up on him and try him again.
Okay.
Just because I'm that kind of a person.
And, you know, we got a little ways with him before it hung up on him. And when we do lose our guests like that, I have to tell you, listeners, I appreciate it, because it's because of you that we're losing our guests like this. And I'm glad you're listening enough to knock him off the air. That's awesome. The wonderful world of internet bandwidth. It's on the clipboard. So. Unless you cut and paste something else. Okay, so anyway, after we talk with Rich, I definitely wanted to bring up something else. I got a really strange message in my voicemail.
That one?
Yeah. Got a really strange message in my voicemail that I wanted to play on the air and get a little feedback on.
You got
an alien.
A digital version of it?
Yep, I put it on.
He recorded a demon.
It's either a demon or an alien, I'm pretty sure. But I'll tell you that story.
Thing. Yeah. Okay, and I believe I'm about to push the magic number again.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Hello again.
We missed you.
Yeah, sorry about that. Again, it's the paranormal.
It was your fault.
There's a ghost out there that does not want me to be talking to you guys tonight.
Well, and if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense, because you're out there revealing the truth, and, you know, you're the last thing that they would want. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, it depends what their point of view is.
A ghost conspiracy? This is a new one, but I like it.
Yeah, I think we should start this. Speaking of conspiracies.
I think so.
Rich, did you see the Westward this week?
I can't see the Westward this week. I think you're referring to the article about the people that believe that the Western headquarters of the New World Order is buried in miles of underground tunnels underneath Denver International Airport.
That would be the one.
When we had a very, very humorous presentation about these theories at the Skeptic Camp.
And it was
which
fantastic.
Is probably the second most interesting thing there behind you guys, because you guys were fantastic.
Well, I really, really am enjoying your butt kissing there, but I'd have to say his was better than ours.
His was amazing.
It was great. But, yeah, I appreciate the smooch in there. That was nicely done. Nicely done. So you don't have any belief that that's a possibility out there? And, you know,
well, there's a possibility out there. There's a possibility out there, but the way I look at it is this. We as a species evolved, as did every other species on the planet. And the reason that we evolved, the reason that we exist from an evolutionary perspective, is to pass on our genes to our offspring. That is really our purpose in life, is to pass on genes to our offspring. That is why evolution has created us the way we are, the most fit, pass on the genes the best. A life after death, a spirit, a ghost, would not in any way that I can think of assist a species in carrying on that genetic tradition, in passing on those genes to anything else. And unless there's a reason for it evolutionarily, it generally doesn't exist is the way I think about it. So I think it's extremely unlikely that any species would develop that ability to live on after death, to have a ghost, to have ESP. Actually, ESP, there'd be a much better reason to do it evolutionarily. That would be a big advantage. But because of that, I think that it's very unlikely that there would be anything like a ghost.
What do you think about... Now, I want to differentiate between a psychic and psychic phenomena. And,
right.
And, you know, psychic phenomena is like when... a daughter suddenly has a strange feeling about her mother across the continent and then calls up and finds out she was in an accident or, you know, things like that that are kind of unexplainable but not repeatable. That I consider
right.
psychic phenomena. And obviously there's some sort of strange thing there because it happens on enough of a scale that, you know, it raises your eyebrows. But psychics, on the other hand, are people that claim that they can do it all the time. What do you feel about that?
Well, I certainly see the distinction you're making. If you're asking me what I think about psychics, this is my opinion, and I'm not making any particular claim against any individual, but in my opinion...
Hang on one second. Okay. I need to say this. The views of Rich Orman do not necessarily reflect the views of Brian and Baxter Warning Radio. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but yeah, nobody has absolutely our views, so that's normal.
Right. In my opinion, psychics are one of two things, frauds or self-delusional. Most of the good ones are
okay, hold on,
in my
hold on, hold
opinion,
on. I'm sorry. Yeah. The views expressed by Rich Orman at this point do reflect the views of Brian and Baxter. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so that I would agree with. What you're talking about as far as synchronicity, as far as, you know, people dreaming that somebody wakes up and they said, oh, my God, I had a dream that my brother was dead, mm-hmm. that something horrible happened to my brother, and then they get a phone call. Something horrible has happened to your brother. I really put most of those things down. I think the most likely explanation for that is chance. If you're going to have these dreams all the time, you're only going to remember it when there's that positive hit, that positive association at the end.
Right.
So I think in all likelihood, those are just chance too. I think that if these psychic phenomena existed, and there would be a strong evolutionary pressure for them to take over the gene pool if they did, because I think that would be a strong advantage
right.
to anybody, I think that they would be much more apparent. I think that you'd be able to say, there's going to be a deer in that meadow that I can go kill, and you know, be able to use remote viewing to do that. And you'd be able to kill all the deer, and no one else would be having any deer, and you'd be the only one that had kids. Therefore, I would think that you would really have it to be visible, to be apparent, to be something that everybody would see all the time.
Well, so the only thing about that is it seems like when it comes to these phenomena, it doesn't happen often enough. It's so random, you know what I mean, that for someone to have that kind of thing, they basically just became a psychic, and then they fall into that other category we just talked about.
Well, I wouldn't call anybody that thinks that they had some kind of phenomena or experience a psychic. To me, a psychic is someone that preys on people and makes money off of it. That's really sort of what I consider a psychic, and maybe put quotes around it.
Now, with your strong feelings towards this, because, I mean, you seem like you're pretty stiff in this opinion. Were you frightened by a psychic as a child?
No. I might have been frightened by a creepy experience in the woods at night, but certainly I've never been frightened by a psychic. I've never seen a psychic. I've never talked to a psychic. Actually, I guess I've seen a psychic maybe in a show or something like that, but that's someone that I know is pretending to be a psychic and is doing it as a magic act. I don't believe I've ever, you know, I've never been to a psychic, although my mother has.
I see. Okay. Well, because...
And the psychic gave her very bad information about me.
Well, what I was going to do, because, you know, if we're going to talk about psychics, we're obviously talking about divination. And, you know, you've got the people that sit around with their tarot cards and
I got the Ouija board mouse pad here.
Yeah, we do have a nice Ouija board mouse pad. I'm wondering if I can change your mind. That, you know, if I flip over a few cards here and tell you something about yourself, if I can change your mind.
Well, we can try, but I would say that I think I'm pretty knowledgeable about cold reading techniques. And if you had to give me a detail that you could find on the internet, that would probably not change my mind either. But go ahead. I would say give it your best shot.
Okay. Here's the first card. You have a need for other people to like and admire you. And
that's
me. You also have a penchant for funny hats.
The second one, I think, is because of the photograph I sent you. First one, I think what you're setting me up is that is obviously a very standard cold reading technique. Okay. You give a very broad answer that is going to apply to almost everybody, because who's not going to say, yeah, that's me,
right,
when you answer that question?
Okay, well, how about this one?
So that
I'm going to flip over the next card. Okay. Rich, you are overly critical of yourself.
Actually, I'm not. I think I'm fantastic. So I think that's a negative hit.
All right, all right, all right. Okay. Okay. Here's another card.
Now, if you were trying to get my wife, saying she's overly critical of me, and maybe she's sitting next to me, so maybe that's what you were doing.
That's it.
Okay, so we'll give you credit for that.
I meant to say your wife is overly... Yeah. And every time you move...
See, there you go. If that's what you meant... Now, she is appalled right now and looking at me sort of... Now she's fucking hurt.
and it is. I also see that every time you move to get up, she says, "Where are you going?"
Sometimes, yes.
That must be what I'm hitting on to the sometimes thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's
it was more blurry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. You pride yourself as an independent thinker and do not accept others' statements without satisfactory proof.
Wow.
Wow. That's good. Wow, you really got me there.
Okay. See, I think
that's amazing.
The sad part is he's really not making this up.
Yeah, I think we've proven that the cold reading statements that I have written here before me work perfectly.
Yeah. That's the thing about a good cold reading. You got to love a good cold reading.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, actually, what you had, though, was a hybrid of a cold reading and a hot reading.
Yes. Yes, especially the one about the funny hats.
The funny hat. That, exactly. So that would be the hot reading. The other would be the cold reading. When you combine the two with a gullible individual, and most people are gullible, they're going to believe in that psychic. Yeah. You didn't get me, though.
I had you for a second, though. I had you. you were like, man, this guy's good.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
I thought I'd toss a little bit at you because I knew that a little bit of my psychic ability again. I knew that you had a bit of knowledge in that area and that you would be able to explain everything I was doing pretty well. So I'm very pleased with your answers. And that's supposed to make you feel really good now. So where did you get the Grand Poobah hat?
It's an interesting story, and I'm sure you're going to have a photograph of this up on the website. I was doing, and I do the show once a week, and a friend of mine who's one of my co-hosts, I alternate co-host between my friend Flynn, who's my legal analyst, and my brother Rob, who's a physician. He's our medical analyst. And I was doing Flynn and I were going to Vegas with my wife, and I thought, it'd be fun to see if there's anyone in Vegas who listens to the show, would like to meet me. So we made arrangements to be at a bar at a certain time, and I said, I'm going to wear a leopard fez hat, just so you can recognize me. So we were there, and I was wearing the hat. I no longer have the hat. I gave it away.
Oh, because I was thinking that I have a particular room in my house that would make a fantastic little wastebasket.
Well, the show, we can talk, and I give you the website where I bought that.
Sounds good.
Oh, after tonight, because of this, it's going to be a collectible. So
yeah, it will be. It'll
That's
be
right.
For a lot on eBay.
Yeah, that guy at Quark's Bar at the Las Vegas Hilton really doesn't know what he got his hands on.
Very cool. Well, do you have any events coming up soon?
I don't. Just the weekly show, which is an event in and of itself. I mean, you guys are starting out on this radio show, and you guys do a fantastic job.
Well,
it is really hard to do a weekly internet radio show, even for 1 hour, and it just takes so much time.
It really does.
I probably spend about 15 hours a week on my show, and it's only for 1 hour. And that really sort of gobbles up all the event planning time I have.
Right. Yeah. And with me, I usually put in a good 45 minutes or so into the show. So, I know exactly what you're talking about because that cuts into my laying around a lot.
We ramp up about a half hour before the show and we're good to go. So.
the benefit of a live program. You don't have to deal with all that pesky editing stuff.
Yeah, I've listened to your show, and it is quite exceptional, and I do recommend it for everybody. In fact, I believe we have a few listeners on that are part of the Paranormal Police Yahoo group, and I want to let all them know that this is a great show to go listen to. They'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, please. Thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, it's really gratifying that people can listen to it and enjoy it, because my main goal in doing all this is to make people think. And I've gotten many emails from people that have told me that that's what they appreciate the most, is that they really thought they were alone in the world. And if they listen to the show, and now, well, they know that they're not, and it gives them an opportunity to think and almost to...
We lost him that time. All right, so what I think we're going to do, because I kind of lost interest in what he was saying anyway, that we're going to have a few commercials, a short commercial break, and we will be right back. Brian and Baxter want to welcome you to...
Warning.
Paranormal radio for the adventurous. Bring your open mind and sit in for a spell. We'll tell you what no one else will tell.
Just run to the warning light, Carolyn.
Every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Mountain Time, just log in to www.warningradio.info. And remember, you have been warned. Advertisers, contact Brian at warningradio.info or Baxter at warningradio.info. Celebrity voices have been impersonated.
Paranormal research is a serious business, and no organization takes this research more seriously than the Rocky Mountain Paranormal Research Society. Located in the Colorado area, they are a paranormal research group dedicated to helping people with paranormal events impacting their lives. This team of highly trained and experienced researchers are here to assist you. Utilizing the latest technology, they gather the data necessary to help determine if you are experiencing actual paranormal phenomena. For more information, go to www.rockymountainparanormal.com.
Oh my goodness, it's Tangina from Poltergeist.
Well, hello, darling.
What are you reading?
Oh, I just printed out my copy of this month's Modern Paranormal Investigator magazine.
Oh, is it really any good?
Oh, it's wonderful. It has information on investigative tools like EMF detectors and cameras, and they really delve into those tough subjects like the use of psychics like me as resources in investigations.
Now, come on. Is it really any good?
Haven't you been listening? I am addressing the living.
Well, but aren't they just a bunch of skeptics out to prove everyone else wrong?
Are you high? These articles are very open-minded. They address the problems investigators have with trying to be spiritual and scientific at the same time. They try to give a guiding hand for dealing with it all, sweetheart. Go and download your copy of Modern Paranormal Investigator and see what I'm talking about.
Wait. I have some services to sell. Can I advertise in this highly prestigious magazine?
Oh, absolutely. Just contact Modern Paranormal Investigator at info@modernparanormal.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at modernparanormal.com. Now, go download your copy of Modern Paranormal Investigator and see what I'm talking about.
But, Tangina, the internet is a huge, scary place. Where on earth would I find this magnificent magazine?
Now, honey, calm down. Some things you just know. You can feel it in your bones. Go to www.modernparanormal.com. Okay, sweetheart?
Now that was www.modernparanormal.com? Okay, I'm going there now. Celebrity voices have been impersonated.
To Lone Star Paranormal Research Society. Yeah! You got a spiritual vomit problem? Well, that's no problem for Lone Star Paranormal. Serving the Dallas metro area, we'll get your spooks, excrementals, other illegals, and hell, even those in-laws to keep browbeating you from the other side. And all the while, we'll keep it secret so your bunker buddies won't think you're a sissy. That's right. Lone Star Paranormal Research Society. Just get on the computer and type in www.lonestarparanormal.com. We'll see you there.
And we're back. All right. So, It's been a pretty interesting show so far.
He is an interesting person.
And we've seen that we had some questions come up in the chat room. And when we give him a call back, we are going to be addressing some of those questions.
That, and if you have any other questions, fire them off and we'll get to those too. As I push the magic button again and hope that I put in the right phone number. I'm going to get somebody's grandmother one time going, hello, who are you?
Guys!
Hey, we're back.
All right. So, for this portion of the show, we've got quite a few people in the chat room, and they've got a few questions that Brian's going to be firing at you.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it. Trial by fire.
That's how we do our show, so I'd say it's a good thing. Well, a couple of questions they had going on here. First of all of the obviously religions that are pushing the whole dogmatic thing, what's your take on Scientology?
Well,
you get aliens and religion.
By a science fiction writer who comes up with this idea that aliens from another planet have, you know, brought 60 billion people to Earth, and that they blew up a bunch of atomic bombs, and now Xenu is loose. It's one of the most utterly ridiculous things I've ever heard of in my entire life. Plus, if you read anything about what Hubbard said about the universe, he has absolutely no understanding of how the universe was structured. And if he was supposed to be getting all these good vibes from Xenu and from the Intergalactic Federation and whatnot, you would think he'd know that the universe wasn't trillions of years old, which is one of the things in one of the Scientology tenets, that the universe is trillions of years old. So he didn't get that right. When you get something like that wrong, when you're talking about Xenu, it's all a bunch of hooey, and I don't mind saying that.
Well, cool. But what about, you know, you got Tom Cruise and John Travolta and all these celebrities, and they're so successful. I mean, how could they possibly be wrong?
Right.
I mean, aren't they out there to tell us that we're wrong about most everything?
And they do.
And they do, yeah.
So. Yeah, they do. You know, I guess my only comeback to them is, do you really believe in Xenu? And they won't even answer that question because they won't even admit that Xenu is part of their whole thing.
Well, do you think that they really know, or are they just going off of what somebody else has told them about it? Do you think they?
Well, obviously, I don't know any of these guys personally, and I only know what I've read, and my understanding is that both these guys are.
Let me just say this: none of them are listening, so go ahead. And say
that's
what you
true.
Want.
my understanding from what I've read is that both of these guys are very high, what they call in Scientology, OT levels. Right. And essentially the way it works in Scientology is you start off at OT1, and you know, these guys, and then you get up to OT3, and then you're what they call clear. And from what I've read, that's when they sort of tell you all the secrets of Scientology. That's when they guys get the briefcases that they carry around with, you know, the handcuff to them, and they keep in safes in their houses and stuff. And that's when they learn about Xenu and all of these things. So I think that Tom Cruise, I heard, is OT7 or OT8, which is about pretty much as high as you can go right now. So I would think he knows, and I think Travolta's up there too. So I think they've all been told about this, and I guess if they haven't left that religion, they got to believe in Xenu.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, probably the way that most of the general public was exposed to this was South Park, of all the crazy places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, South Park did a great job of exposing this.
You know, I heard Penn Jillette once say that South Park is the most important media outlet for skepticism in the United States. Maybe the world.
I never really thought about it, but you're really right.
You are right.
Definitely. Well, no, I'm not right. Penn Jillette's right.
Well, you're right for bringing it up. Good job.
Yeah.
Penn's right most of the time.
Yeah.
Tell her I don't listen to a word he says. But
yeah, he's not. Next.
Any other questions from the chat room?
Let's see. What other ones do we have? Well, actually, we'll pull one from before. As far as all of the dogmatic beliefs, what do you think has been the most interesting or overwhelming?
Well, for me, on my show.
Oh, other than paranormal research, because that's his touch.
Yeah, the most interesting, I guess, and the most overwhelming, at least emotionally for me, is actually it's sort of corollary to the belief in the paranormal, is the belief in some parts of the world in witchcraft. because I've had found many stories that I talked about on my show, and I found many more that I haven't had time for, where people in places like India and Papua New Guinea and Africa are being killed or being lynched because their neighbors and their families think that they're practicing some type of black magic. And that's the real deal. I mean, that's killing people because of a belief in some kind of superstition, a dogmatic belief in a superstition. So to me, that is the most powerful evidence of how horrible this stuff can be.
Yeah, that's really scary. When you've got that kind of stuff going on, it's I mean, you would think that the world would have learned something from our history, you know, with that. But you know, I guess if you don't like your neighbor, there's always that you can fall back on. But
yeah, or if something weird happens and your kid dies of some horrible disease, well, you don't. It's not just random chance. It's not too bad your kid suffers. Someone must have done it. Your neighbor must have done it. And, well, so you're going to take it out on the vulnerable. You're going to take it out on the old lady living next door.
Right.
And it's because you have this belief.
Right.
Well, and unfortunately, that's passed on from generation to generation, and it just gets worse as time goes on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Kind of.
All right, come on, you guys. I'm ready for the paranormal questions.
One person was kind of curious about if you... what is your feeling on the universe? Obviously, you very much believe in evolution. Would you consider yourself an atheist?
I would consider myself, there's that term, atheist. What does it mean? There are various things it can mean. If you read Richard Dawkins' latest book and some other recent books, they'll talk about sort of levels of it. I would say I am a soft atheist, which would maybe be sort of like a hard agnostic. A soft atheist is, I look at the universe, I think the possibility of a God is very unlikely. I think that there's no evidence for it, so I tend to think that there isn't one. However, if someone came up with proof, I'd be willing to look at it. So I don't have a dogmatic belief that there is no God. I just think it's extremely unlikely. Does that make me an atheist? I guess you have to be the judge in what that term means to you.
That sounds more agnostic than anything else.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who hears you say it.
That's true.
So, it probably does. It's in the ear of the beholder.
That's all a perspective thing. Is there another one?
I'm reading as we go through. Does anybody else in the chat room have a question while I'm digging through here? They're getting all paranoid about Tom Cruise coming out of the closet. So...
You know, someone was doing a great musical at the Edinburgh Film Festival in Scotland. I don't know if it's still going on, a musical about Lord Xenu called Xenu is Loose.
Oh, wow.
If you have any listeners in Scotland, they may want to go catch that. Hopefully it'll come to the U.S. someday.
It's going to hit YouTube, don't worry.
What do you think about Wicca?
Wow, what do I think about Wicca? I could go on for a while about that. You know, witchcraft in Europe, which is sort of where Wicca, I guess maybe you could say, gets its foundations. Witchcraft in Europe didn't really exist. Witchcraft was a delusion of the Inquisition in Europe and the delusion of Christians, where they sort of set up this anti-Christianity, where people would have demons, which were, you know, the anti-angels, who were their familiars, and so forth. So they set up this idea of this anti-Christianity that was existing in Europe. And they persecuted people, again, their neighbor who they didn't like and so forth, or people that weren't strong enough in their religion, or just random people that they decided must be involved with this. So really, witchcraft was a mass delusion. What I think Wicca is people in the 60s and maybe even the 50s and 70s got this idea that it was sort of a cool idea that this witchcraft was really there, and they wanted to associate themselves with this long tradition. And they reinvented a former religion which really never existed in the first place. I don't see that as, you know, it's not as dangerous as Scientology, but it's, to me, the validity is just a suspect. It's a modern construct.
Okay. What about
Yeah, we're really bouncing subjects here when you do this one.
What about? Well, I'm going to extend this one just for a second. Well, what about the not so much of the origins of it, but the concepts of it? You know, do what you will as long as you hurt no one. Those kind of things. What the current day Wiccans believe. How do you feel about it?
Well, it depends what you mean by what do they believe. I heard a guy interviewed on another show the other week who claims to be the president of the Church of Satan. Mm-hmm. And he's not a Wiccan, but he says he's the president of the Church of Satan. And when he was expressing what he believed in, it was essentially a hedonistic atheism where you only look out for yourself.
Right.
Well, that's not only what I consider to be Satanism. I would consider Satanism as you sort of believe in the anti-God of Christianity, Satan, or the anti-God of Judaism, or what have you, Satan, and you worship that entity as a god. So you can recreate it and call it what you want. But unless you're actually believing that you're casting spells and that these are going to have some impact on the real world, unless you actually believe that there are these gods out there that you're praying to, I don't really think that is Wicca. I mean, from the reading I've done, the real Wicca is you cast spells. You believe that there are gods.
Right.
You believe that there are entities that you are interacting with or attempting to do so. To me, that is no different than any other religion where you're worshiping. You know, it's no different to me than Roman mythology. You know, Zeus never existed.
Right.
These other gods that the Wiccans might worship, I think the evidence is that they don't exist either.
Well, I think what's going on with that, and I would say this also, to a certain extent, even with the Roman and Greek mythologies, is that with the Wiccans, I don't know, when you get higher up in the organizations maybe, that they really believe that these are gods, but they're more personifications of different aspects of nature to make them easier to relate to, is what my understanding was. They're still doing spells and stuff like that, but it seems like there's a lot more flexibility, I think, in what you can and can't believe in Wicca. But that's just from what I've read, and I can't say what I've read's correct, but...
I don't want to be putting down Wicca. I think it is just as valid as any other religion out there. Frankly, Scientology is just as valid as any other religion out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not saying it's worse than anything else.
Right.
It's about the same.
You know, an interesting one, kind of back where you were, we've been going into a pretty deep research on the background of the whole Satanist
Church of Satan.
Background.
Yes.
And we've actually been in contact with the guy that is the head of the Church of Satan.
Peter Gilmore.
And, you know, what they call the church and what they really are not exactly the same thing. Because...
But he doesn't believe in Satan.
Oh, no, a quote from them. We really don't like the devil worshippers.
Yeah, they're just using the name for shock value.
Yeah, exactly. It's pure shock value. Which is okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them doing that, but for anybody to think that there's people actually out there worshiping Satan, or really ever were, is a fallacy.
Right. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah, it's a completely different group of people.
Yeah, it is. It's a completely different
group. You know, and I will say this, and this I don't think really reflects on your group, because from what I've heard you guys say and from what I know about you, you look at the world from a very naturalistic, scientific perspective.
Yes.
But I've seen on TV other sort of ghost hunting groups that will talk about, we're going to go to a house, and if we smell a sulfurous smell, that means there's a demon in there. That means there's a non-human entity.
Right.
I think the likelihood of a human entity is very low. I think the likelihood of a non-human entity that it would be intelligent is so much lower, because... Where would that entity come from? Where would it have evolved from? What would be the origin of it? You're just assuming, you're just sort of taking a tapestry of mythologies from various cultures and putting it on that house, saying this demon is going to exist. So people can believe in this stuff from all kinds of perspectives.
Well, that's really the dangerous thing, is labeling anything until you've had an opportunity to investigate it further.
Absolutely.
You know, that's really where the danger is. Now, what do you think about crop circles?
What do I think about crop circles? I think that the guys that came up with crop circles were some of the greatest hoaxers that ever lived. I mean, you know, you can have people that believe in crop circles. You can have believers that aliens are responsible for this, or that earth spirits are responsible for this, or whatever is responsible for this. People are responsible for this. You can have the person that makes the crop circle tell the people, tell the true believers, I made this crop circle. Here's how I did it. Here's a film of me doing it. Oftentimes, they still won't believe it. Or even if they do believe it, they will say, yes, you made it, but there's still a supernatural explanation for it because the spirit made you do it, or something like that. Well, We have people that have been out there saying, yes, I made the crop circle. Yes, I did this. To me, once you have that, the game's over. It's really not even a topic that's worth investigating anymore because you know that it's a fraud. You know that it's a hoax. You have people that still believe in the Shroud of Turin. When you have in the historical documents a confession from the guy that made it, and the bishop, look, this guy confessed to me that he hoaxed the Shroud of Turin, and yet you still have people believing that this is some type of item of supernatural origin. So people will believe in things no matter what the evidence shows them sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that is definitely a problem. I mean, you know, you come up with an answer for why something is the way it is, and you will have those diehards out there saying, well, it was the spirit that made them do it. And yeah, and then you know, where does the argument go there? It's pretty much agree to disagree.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, if you want to believe in crop circles, great. But, you know, I think it's been firmly established that they're a hoax.
Well, you know, it's It's kind of an interesting side note here that you were talking about how even when people say it was me that was doing it, they won't accept it. We've had that happen where we've either created some sort of a, you know, fake ghost photo, video, or recreated something that's been done. And people
for demonstration purposes.
Exactly, just to demonstrate, and people will say, "Oh no, you didn't do that. That's actually a ghost. You just aren't letting anybody know about it."
Yeah. Well, I think the most famous historical example of this was Harry Houdini. Would do all these tricks for Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the author of all the Sherlock Holmes books, who was a big believer in all things paranormal, and would show him how he did it. Would tell.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. We lost him. Yeah, that's fine.
He went away.
That's fine. Well, we'll call
he
him
said
back.
Houdini and he disappeared. It's going to call
yeah,
him
Yeah, that was pretty good. Well, we'll get him back on just long enough to basically tell him, thanks, we've heard enough of you. We're done. Shut up. And we'll get him off the air because we can talk about a few more things before we wrap up this show. And definitely want all you listeners, too.
Here comes the magic green button.
Okay. It's where I'll talk over the beeping and ringing. All you listeners, if you have more questions that you want us to ask him, go ahead and email him, and we'll try to have him back on sometime.
Yeah, but I was saying Arthur Conan Doyle wouldn't believe him.
That was a nice pickup.
Wow, good character.
Good pickup.
So, you know, Arthur Conan Doyle said, no, you are psychic. No, you do have special powers. And he said, no, it's a trick. And he just wouldn't believe him.
Yeah, well, people are doing Angel these days.
I have no idea who that is, but I'll take your word for it.
Actually, a good example of that, too, is Darren Brown, if you're familiar with him.
He has a
is
show
he the
called
guy
Mind
on that
Control.
New show?
Yep.
On the guy on the Science Fiction Channel?
Yep. That's the one.
Yep. Excellent. Okay, so we're about ready to wrap it up. We thought we'd call you back just long enough to say bye. So if there's any last-minute plugs you would like to fit in here before we let you go. And I also want to let you know that I put a little word out to our listeners that if they have more questions they want to ask you, to email them to us. And if we get enough, we'll have you back on and do some more of this.
Absolutely. I would love to come on your show anytime. It's a wonderful show.
Well, thank you.
You guys are doing a wonderful service. If anyone's interested in listening to my show, again, they can go into iTunes and just type in Dogma Free America, and it'll come up, and they can subscribe to it. Or they can go to my website, dogmafreeamerica.com, and if they want to send me an email directly, they don't want to go through you guys, just click where it says click here to send me an email.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Perfect. Rich, we really appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a lot of fun. It's been great having you be so quick with all these different subjects and everything. Yeah,
kind of bouncing around a lot here.
Yeah, it was a blast.
So, actually, I do want to promote one more thing. I had Brian on my show, and he was fantastic. So if you want to go on to my show, it is, in fact, the current issue, the current edition, episode 38 of Dogma Free America. You can hear me interview Brian.
Look at this cross-promotional stuff. I like this.
This is beautiful. Beautiful.
Okay, guys.
Sounds good.
Have a great day.
I'll talk to you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow, I didn't hang up while he was in the middle of a sentence this time.
Very good. Very nice. You're getting good at that. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. Definitely, we've got a lot of potential controversy there. It's hard to talk about these things without stepping on somebody's beliefs. And with someone such as Rich, who has such strong, opinions about everything, he's going to stomp on a belief or two, and that's going to raise some more questions to pose to him. And I'm looking forward to seeing what we get there, because that'll be fun to make him face what some of you want to ask. Now, something else I want to ask is...
I love these sounds. Those are kind of cool.
Just cut those out right now. Here's kind of an interesting thing. I've been getting this very weird message on my voicemail on my cell phone. And I wanted to put it out to all of you to hear it, to get your opinion. Because it's probably nothing. You know, when I first heard it, I actually thought it may be a female fan, you know, expressing that she was enjoying herself to me on the phone. And, you know, I was looking forward to finding out who it was. But then I got nobody claimed responsibility for the strange message. So I erased it. And then a couple of days later, the exact same message was back on my phone again. And I heard, you know, the voicemail tells you what time it's on. Check my call log. Nobody called during that time. So I was playing it for one of my friends to listen to. And lo and behold, there were two of them on my voicemail. It's the same one. It's not someone calling up and doing a different one. It was the exact same one. So I don't really know what was going on with that. It's still on my phone. But I'm going to go ahead and play it for you. And you guys can let us know what you think. It. Now I'm thinking Predator is
kind of has that sound to it.
Yeah, I'm thinking Predator. I mean, if it is a female fan, let me know, because at first it sounded like something was vibrating, but how the rest of those sounds were made, I'm not sure, and I'd be very interested in finding out. But I don't know. It was a very strange thing how the message kept coming back.
Yeah, you've got that like four or five times now.
Yeah, it's very scary. I'm kind of scared right now.
I'm not buying that.
You're not buying that I'm scared? No. I'm intrigued right now. How's that?
That's better.
So, I think we're about ready to wrap up this show. What do you think?
We have done good. Next week, barring any weird circumstances, David Roundtree will be with us.
Yay.
And that will be a very good thing. By then, we may or may not have a new edition of Modern Paranormal Investigator out by then.
Be pretty close.
And if you want to grab a copy of that, just go over to modernparanormal.com and you can buy a copy of that, as well as we will have movie updates as we get the breaking news about it.
You know, and I also want to point out that if you have any interest in our next guest, feel free to email us during the week with any questions that you want us to ask, just in case we happen to miss your question on the chat room. Go ahead and let us know, and we'll be ready for these guys. So I think we're going to wrap it up. Brian, it has been glorious to sit next to you again and do this.
Somebody has to do it.
Whatever. So I hope you have a wonderful week, and thank you all for listening. Have a great night. We bring you Warning.
Warning, warning, warning.
The Abbott and Costello of the Paranormal World.